713-410-2900 or just click prastudies.com and they'll set up an appointment to see if they can include you in the next one. Call 913-410-2900 or click prastudies.com. PRA and Lenexa, Kansas, clearly different.
912 at 1320 KLWN. It is time for the Lord's Business Magazine show here on KLWN. And here's your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today I'm pleased to have a few representatives, our local charities and or nonprofits, to talk about some of their holiday initiatives that are going on. And from the Boys and Girls Club, we have the executive, the director of development, Erica Zimmerman. She's going to talk a little bit about the toy drive and a few other things today. From the shelter, Judy Coley, who's the executive director. And from the Salvation Army, Lieutenant Matt McClure. And we're going to talk a little bit about the bell ringing, because that's always a holiday tradition we see. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
So, and we want to talk a little bit, let's talk a little bit about you guys. First of all, you know, kind of how you got to Lawrence, and we'll start with Matt because he's the newest one here to Lawrence.
Sure.
How you got to Lawrence and kind of how you got involved with the Salvation Army and what brought you to Lawrence.
Sure. Well, I joined the Salvation Army in 2007, and in 2010, my wife and I went to the training college. And that's kind of the Salvation Army's version of the seminary. And when we were commissioned and ordained, the Salvation Army sent us here. They appoint their corps officers. So we were sent to Lawrence.
And then, now, how long, when did you start here?
Our first day was June 27th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your first bell ringing season, although we had a,
it is.
There was a little, you had a little bell ringing this summer, if I recall.
Yeah, that's right.
Sale, yeah.
Yep.
And did a little half year.
That's right.
So now, what about you, Judy?
Well, I came to Lawrence to work on my master's degree, finish my master's degree at KU, and while I was doing that, that was in the late 70s, and I was working at Court Services. I had a part-time job at Court Services while I was working on my master's degree. And while I was there at Court Services, why a group of agencies got together in town and decided that we really needed to start an emergency shelter service for kids.
Okay.
And so I was a part of a group that wrote a grant that then that got funding to start this kind of a service. So,
okay.
But I came here, first of all, just to finish my degree.
Now, was your degree in anything related to doing the shelter?
Well, it was, I taught school before I came here.
Okay. So
I have
had
a degree in education.
Okay.
And then my master's degree was in what was at that time called guidance and counseling in the School of Education. So I thought I was going to go back and work in schools, but I just kind of stumbled into what turned out to be my life's work. So
that's amazing. I didn't realize that you had been there from the very beginning and helped found it. That's wonderful. Very cool. Now, Erica, you're with the Boys and Girls Club. Tell us a little bit about your history there.
Well, I came to Lawrence a couple years ago, more than that, but I came to Lawrence to go to college at the University of Kansas, and then I graduated from the college with a degree in sociology. And at the time that I was finishing up school, I began working for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I worked there for a few years. And then I had the opportunity to run an after-school program at New York Elementary for the Boys and Girls Club. So I took that and did that for a few years. And then about 5 years ago, I was promoted to the director of development. So that's how I came to be with the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, that's great. Well, you guys, we have a celebrity though too these days with Trey Dudley.
Do.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
it's brought a lot of focus to your organization, which has been pretty amazing, I would imagine.
It is. It's been a great experience, not only for her but for us as a club as well. You know, we all like to be appreciated for what we do and see the impact for what we do, and it's not often that you get that exposure on a national level. And we were super excited. We knew she could do it, but she's such an amazing girl, and it's really fun as an organization to kind of be exposed to some national staff and to just people all over the world who have really embraced her and congratulated her, and it's been a great experience for all of us.
Well, I would think, too, is having that national exposure for the club is so great, just visibility here, but for the organization, and then to kind of have that national perspective, which I'm not sure if you probably really had before.
Right, right. Like I said, she's getting to meet some great people.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaq and Denzel, and I mean, come on. It's pretty, I mean, she threw out the first, or she walked the first pitch at the World Series, so she's getting some really good connections, but so are we. On my end, I do a lot of her scheduling and a lot of her making sure she's at her events and that type of thing. And I've been able to meet the national publicity team and the National Youth of the Year team through Boys and Girls Club. So we're benefiting as staff because we're making those connections as well. And so, you know, our executive director has been in contact with their national team. And so we're making some good connections on our end, as is she.
You like become kind of the spotlight on you for like kind of like the going to the how to a little bit of how to have run a Boys and Girls Club, which I think is pretty amazing.
Right, right, absolutely.
You're pushing actually Trey's been pushing like Diamond Dixon out of the headlines to get all so much going to give her a run for her money. The two of them put a lot of spotlight on us. Well, let's talk a little bit about because we're going to talk about kind of your holiday drives, but you guys don't exist just during the holidays. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of what you do all year round, services wise, and kind of what what your core services are and what you do and kind of how you serve. Let's start with you, Matt.
Sure. Well, the Salvation Army internationally does a lot of different services. Locally, we have our food pantry. Mm-hmm. We do rent and utility assistance, which all sort of falls under our emergency services. But then we also do case management. We have a program called Project ABLE. We do intense strengths-based case management. And the idea is that we take someone from poverty to self-sufficiency. We walk them through that whole path. And then we also do some transitional housing type things, mm-hmm. some support in that area. And then, of course, our church. We have religious services and all of the things that go along with that.
Now, when you work all year round and stuff like that, what fundraising do you do? Where does your financial support come from?
Well, we do mail appeal. Mm-hmm. So folks in the community can sign up to get a mailing, and it comes out every month, I believe. Okay. And they can send in a check every month, and it doesn't have a dollar amount. I mean, they can send in a dollar, they can send in $100, whatever they want.
So you'll take more than a dollar?
We would gladly take more than a dollar. Gladly. And then we will be in the coming year, we're going to be trying to do some more fundraisers as well as just some more raising awareness about the Salvation Army in Lawrence.
That's great. Okay. Let's talk about you, Judy. What are your core services and how do you get your financial support for the most part?
Well, we actually, our name makes it confusing a little bit because we, being called the Shelter Inc., there are a number of different kinds of shelters in town, and and there's also the Shelter Insurance Company. So we are not the animal shelter. We don't sell insurance. There are many things we don't do. But what we do is provide emergency care for children who are removed from their homes in an emergency. Mm-hmm. That was what the original reason to come together for our board was mm-hmm. to make it so that children who are removed from their homes in an emergency by law enforcement don't have to be then taken somewhere else if they can't live in their own homes temporarily. So that was what we started off doing. We still do that. We have two facilities that are residential facilities that children live in that are ages 10 and up. And they are, most of them are in the custody of the state.
Okay.
Along with doing emergency care in those homes, now we also provide a service that is what is more of a traditional group home service where kids stay for longer periods of time, and they are working on skills to manage their lives, and their families in the meantime are working on things they need to work on so that the child can go back home.
Okay.
So we've got shorter-term care and then longer-term care in those homes. Now,
I'm going to come back to you. Need to take a break.
Okay.
I get in the sign here from John.
Okay.
We'll come back and finish with the shelter and talk a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club's mission, too.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN and Sports on the 23s is next.
Dale Willey Chevrolet offers a full line of Chevrolet vehicles and complete services. Cars, trucks, and SUVs. All the state-of-the-art vehicles that are part of the Chevrolet lineup can...
5564. Let Sunflower Bank's home equity line of credit help all your surprises come true. Sunflower Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
925, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lord's Business Magazine show. And once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Boys and Girls Club, The Shelter, and the Salvation Army. That's Erica Zimmerman, Judy Coley, and Lieutenant Matt McClure to talking about some of the nonprofits we have and some of their holiday things that they do. But we were talking about the shelter and kind of how all the different services you guys have and kind of that you work with different, you have two homes, different age groups.
Right.
Let's continue with that a little bit.
Okay. The name The Shelter comes from those homes, and we talked about those a little bit. We also have, though, services that are prevention kinds of services, and people don't necessarily are not as aware of that, mm-hmm. in part because of the name of our organization. But we do juvenile intake, where we have staff on call to law enforcement to do sort of a social work addition to whatever intervention law enforcement is doing in any case involving a child.
Mm-hmm.
We also have prevention and diversion programs that keep kids out of the system. If a child's arrested for a low-level crime, we have pre-filing diversion program that we do with the approval of the district attorney's office.
Okay.
We have case management also that's designed to help kids get their behavior under control so that they don't end up in the custody of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we provide also some assistance with paying for things, services that or goods that might keep a kid out of custody. So we try to not only help kids if they have been removed, but keeps kids from being removed
help
from their homes.
Help them in the situation there
right.
to kind of keep
right.
things calmer and
right,
and so that
their home situation doesn't rise to the level that. That a child can't live there anymore.
Stress levels and stuff.
Right. Then we also help to license foster homes. So that's another service that we have. So we really have lots of different things that we do for kids and families in the community.
That's great. Now, speaking of kids in the community, we have the Boys and Girls Club. So tell us about all your core services, and because I know you guys actually... You work with every single school mm-hmm. in Lawrence, don't
mm-hmm.
you?
We're a youth development program. We have before and after schools. We actually have 12 sites across Lawrence. 10 of those are in elementary schools. And then we have two freestanding sites over at Haskell. We have the building, the traditional building, and then the East Heights Elementary School building
okay.
that we have kids
mm-hmm.
in. And we serve kids from every elementary school in Lawrence and every middle school in Lawrence. And we're starting to work on some high school outreach as well. We serve about 1,200 kids every day.
That's a lot.
In our 12 sites. And like I said, we're a youth development program, and we believe that if we can get the kids who need us most, which is pretty much any child in Lawrence, and give them targeted programs with caring adults and a fun, safe environment, then we have three priority outcomes that we look at, and that's their academic success,
mm-hmm.
Healthy lifestyles, and then good character and citizenship. And we do a lot of programs in those different areas, and depending on the site, some of the kids are bused to the site, such as the East Heights site, and then they come in, we have a mandatory homework time where mm-hmm. they either get help with their homework or they're doing some sort of high-yield academic activity. And then they all get healthy snack and some sort of physical activity throughout the day. All of our kids get at least, at minimum, 30 minutes a day in our program. That's a minimum. those gym games and outside time are very popular. So they spend a lot of time there. And then, you know, we have the computer lab and all of those different opportunities. But it's just a place for kids to come and feel safe, mm-hmm. but also to impact their education, impact their social lives. And it also provides a place for parents to leave their kids after school. You know, a lot of our
That's your primary thing right now is after school program, right?
Yep, that's what we do, after school programs.
And in the summer you have.
And we also, yes, and then we run a summer program. It's an 8-week program. We're open 10 hours during the day, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it's the same thing, youth development activities. Kids get to go swimming and field trips a lot in the summer to keep them busy, but we just try to provide a safe place with caring adults and for parents so that they feel they can work and be a part of the economy knowing that their kids are in a safe place.
Yeah, that's my fun with the Boys and Girls Club, because it's such a, you know, you work with all these different schools and such a diverse group, and that, you know, just providing, you know, as a, you know, mom, you know, knowing that your kid's safe after school, you know, that you don't have, you know, because the, you know, deferring the latchkey syndrome and stuff like that, and making sure they're around adults and stuff. Now, when you're, how do you hire the people? Because you also employ a lot of people, too. Where do these training, where did all these people come from?
We actually hire and employ about 150 people. Most of those are part-time. Our part-time staff are group leaders that work directly with the kids that are responsible for all the activities. But, you know, we find them in a lot of different ways. We have a very high population that are KU students, but we also have Baker students. We have Haskell students. We kind of find them everywhere that we can. We do a lot of recruiting. And then training is so important in order for them to make positive impact on these kids' lives. And so we do a lot of training there. You know, there's mandatory training they have to attend, and there's all kinds of variety of different activities. But, you know, we're so fortunate to have a great relationship with the school district. They are one of our biggest allies, and we couldn't do what we do without them. And so we get a lot of resources, a lot of training resources from the school district. We work a lot with the teachers on site and the principals because, you know, our staff are young and they need all the resources they can get. And so it's really helpful to have those sites at the school and be able to just walk down the classroom to the teacher and say, "Hey, I'm having this issue. Can you help me with this?" And you know, a lot of our staff are in the School of Education, School of Social Work, and those kinds of things. And so it's good experience for them. You know, it's funny because we've had staff that have taken this job and are like, "Oh, I so want to be a teacher," or they've come in saying they want to be a teacher and then leaving and being like, "Ah, I'm not going to be a teacher." So it works both ways, right? Or you know, or I want to be, you know, I want to work with kids in the social work system, and then they get through, they get into our organization and are like, I think I'll see if I can do something else, you know. So it's it works both ways. But yeah, we're very fortunate to have some good, really good resources in the community to help train and our staff.
That's great. Well, you also, Judy, you have specialized training too, I would think.
We absolutely do. Our kids, because they are in varying levels of crises, they are pretty high needs kids. Not always, but you know, they can certainly be high needs kids. And so we try to be very cognizant of the fact that that folks have to have a certain skill level to be able to know how to respond to them and to know how to respond to whatever situation they're dealing with. For example, our juvenile intake staff, because they're on call to law enforcement, they're going to be dealing with different kinds of situations maybe than the staff who work in our facilities. And there are different qualifications, of course, for different kinds of services that we provide. We have also case management that deals with truancy. And by the way, let me echo what you're saying about what a great resource the Lawrence School District is. We have a program that deals specifically with truancy for kids who are age 16 and older, Which is an interesting dilemma, because kids can be signed out of school when they're 16, but if they are enrolled in school and not attending, then they are still truant. And so it is an interesting population to serve. So our folks that deal with truancy know a lot about the district and a lot about how the services that kids can get while they're attending school and the kinds of things that will discourage truancy in the district. And the district's been very helpful with that. And, of course, they're very helpful with our kids who are in our facilities as well. So
that's great.
Yes, we have we do a lot of training, and we have ongoing training that's required as
well
as
initial. How many people do you know? How many people do you guys employ?
We employ, just depending upon, you know, the year and what we've gotten funding for and what we haven't. We range between 30 and 45 employees.
Significant. Mm-hmm. That is. Now you deal with Matt. You deal with the people different. You have some employees, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yours a little bit. You're dealing a lot with individuals, older individuals. But then mm-hmm. you also have families you're dealing with. So you're dealing with mm-hmm. a lot of kids. So how did you guys work your structure there?
Well, we do have a lot of kids that come through. We do our character building programs, which is kind of the Salvation Army's version of scouting, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term. So we do that, and we have currently 7 employees year-round. And then, of course, during the bell ringing season, if we don't have people volunteering to bell ring, we have to pay people to bell ring. Mm-hmm. And so our employment jumps way up for November and December, which is good, because the folks that come to bell ring, they need that extra income.
Mm-hmm.
So during that season, I've probably sent in about 200 applications mm-hmm. for bell ringers, and not all of them will stand at a stand all the time, but we employ them nonetheless. So that's how that kind of works, and we do have a lot of families that come in. In fact, our Project ABLE program deals primarily with families, mm-hmm. and in our emergency services, families sort of get priority for emergency services.
Well, when you brought it up, I think that's a good segue that you brought up the bell ring. Let's talk a little bit about some of the holiday efforts, because this time of year, people hopefully are feeling more generous and giving and really trying to help realize that the world's a little bit bigger. We have to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And at Salvation Army, you guys have a very visible
mm-hmm.
Thing every year, the bell ringing. How much of your fundraising comes from the bell ringing, and what is this, you know, the significance of that?
Sure.
Bell ringing.
Well, I'll give a little history on it, actually. Back in the early 1900s, there's a young captain in California who wanted to feed the community during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. So he literally put a kettle, mm-hmm. like a big black kettle, out there and a sign that said, "Keep the pot boiling," and people just gave money and they were able to feed the community. So it's sort of evolved into this animal of our kettle season. Our goal this year is $125,000 to raise, and that goes into our operating fund
mm-hmm.
and helps us throughout the year with our emergency services and various other things that we do get a couple of grants for our social services, but the mm-hmm. other things that we don't get grants for, obviously mm-hmm. they have to be funded. So helps us with that. Not only do we do bell ringing, we also do a Christmas joy shop. We do a coat drive with the
right.
mm-hmm. Scotch cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a holiday meal, and that's on December 5th. We'll be doing a holiday meal for the community. So we do quite a few things through the holiday season. It's a very busy season.
Yeah, so tell me about your toy thing. It's a toy.
Yep.
What's that?
It's called the Christmas Joy Shop.
Okay.
And the idea is that parents can come in and shop for toys for their kids.
Okay.
Next year, we actually plan, I don't know if I should say this on the radio. I hope my wife isn't listening. She might. But we're actually planning to do something that we did in another community called Santa's Workshop. And the idea is that children can come into that and pay a quarter to get a gift for their parents. And of course, some people would say, well, you're charging people for, well, if a kid comes in and doesn't have a quarter, we'll give them a quarter. But the idea is it does something for a child to be able to pay for a gift for their parent.
Yes.
So next year, that's something that we're planning on adding to our Christmas program.
So do you take donations and stuff then?
Absolutely. Years? Absolutely. We have at a couple of businesses around town, we have a angel tree. And okay. So folks can take an angel and buy gifts written on that angel. They can bring toys into our location, which is 946 New Hampshire. Absolutely bring us toys. Okay. Or they can also donate money and designate it towards the toy shop.
Okay.
And we will make sure to use that just to buy toys.
That sounds great. Now, Judy, you have something that I enjoy going to, the Festival of Trees, which is one of the, actually how I got to know about the shelter was through the Festival of Trees, because my son, when he was going to the Lawrence Arts Center, their preschool did a tree. They did a tree, and it was so much fun. And then going there and seeing it was just remarkable. So how did that whole tradition get started, and how did you guys benefit from that?
Well, we were so fortunate. When it started 26 years ago, this is our 26th
wow.
year.
No wonder it's so big.
Yeah. That's awesome. How it got started was that a woman who lived in Topeka, I don't think she'd mind if I mentioned her name. She was just here in the studio, Shirley Martin Smith.
Okay.
Had lived in Topeka, and I had lived in Topeka in the past, and we knew about the Festival of Trees that was done in Topeka.
Okay.
And so Shirley and I talked to our board about that. Shirley knew much more about it than I did. I had just gone to the Festival of Trees there, but Shirley talked to our board about it, and our board was looking for a regular fundraiser that we could do each year that would be something that would also be a nice thing for the community. And so Shirley came and talked, and our board decided to do it. And so we had the people from Topeka come over and share with us how they organized their festival, and we have been doing it ever since. It is really, to me, the benefits are not only the money that we make, but the community spirit that comes from everybody working on their trees and trying to help kids at Christmas time.
Well, there's some pretty amazing trees. Now, when is the Festival of Trees this year?
Start right after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. The trees, everybody that's doing trees or wreaths comes down and sets up their creations on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and then the Monday after Thanksgiving, which is the 27th of November, why the trees are on display from 10 in the morning to 8:30 in the evening. Then on Tuesday, they're again on display. This is at Liberty Hall,
right,
by the way.
Right, that's what I was going to ask. It's there still.
Right, it is. And so it's 10 in the morning to 5 on Tuesday, and then we have a big auction Tuesday night where the trees are auctioned off. And then they continue to be on display on Wednesday and Thursday from 10 to 8:30.
So the Monday and Tuesday after Thanksgiving is when the public needs to come down and see.
And Wednesday and Thursday of that week. So it's 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th.
But what you really want to do is come in Monday and Tuesday and really want to buy one of those trees and give you a lot of money, right?
Well,
how do they get that money?
How we make money on it is at the auction.
Okay, and that's Tuesday night?
And that's Tuesday night. And the auction party starts at 7, and then the auction itself starts at 7:30, and it's a live auction. The trees are auctioned off to the highest bidder, but they continue to be on display the rest of the week. And then we deliver them to the buyers on Friday, which is a whole nother task.
I bet.
We feel, again, it's a community effort, law enforcement volunteers to help us deliver the trees, which is really great. The police officers help with the heavy lifting for the delivery of the whole thing.
So how do you, this auction, is it open to the public? Do you need to buy a ticket?
Sure. You can pay at the door to come to the auction. It is a lovely party, so there's lots of nice food and et cetera involved. And so you do pay to come to the party, but it's a great, great time to just view the trees. If you don't want to come to the auction, if you just want to view the trees, why, you can view them any of those times I talked about, and it's $3 for adults, and kids are free to view the trees. So,
and it's worth it. If you have not had a chance to go, there's these incredible, we have a very artistic community, and they come out in those the trees and just do some wonderful, some very bizarre trees, some amazingly beautiful trees, some trees that are just fabulous. It's really quite remarkable.
It is remarkable, and they're done by all different groups and individuals in the community. The Art Center Preschool has done trees since the beginning. I mean, they have always done a tree, and they're always very interesting. There are individual people who do them. I was just talking yesterday with the Lawrence Master Gardeners about what the shelter does, because they've done trees for many years, and so they wanted to know a little bit about more about our services. But, I mean, there are businesses like, you know, dentist's office that they all go together and do a tree, or, you know, then there are individuals that just do them by themselves. And of course, schools, I mean, they're mm-hmm. like groups from, or brownie troops, or, you know, so there are little kids' trees, and there are creations.
How many trees? One more tree question, because it's a visual. It's a visual I like.
Yes.
How many trees do you get?
As of yesterday, I think, the number that we have this year is 58.
Wow.
We honestly, we are so fortunate. The community just loves doing this. And so we send out information in August. And by the end of September, we are usually full.
Wow.
I mean, we can only fit so many in there, you know.
Yeah.
And we try really, I mean, we try to take into consideration we've got this many big ones. We could scoot in another little one or whatever. But there's only so much room in Liberty Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We are very fortunate that the community is so giving in wanting to do these great creations, and then that people want to come to the party and buy them.
So. That's great.
I should mention also, mm-hmm. we have wreaths that people donate as well, and they are also done by groups or individuals or whatever, and those are done by silent auction.
Okay.
So the silent auction part, people can start bidding on the wreaths at the point that it opens on Monday morning. You can start bidding on the silent auction, but it ends the night of the actual auction. Also, so
mm-hmm. very good. Mm-hmm. But people should definitely go down and check that out. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of a great way to kick off the holiday season, yeah. with that visual of all the lights going on.
I was just going to make a plug too. You know, if you the trees are amazing, and if you want to buy one but don't have the room, we have right. been as Boys and Girls Clubs. They have brought them to our clubs, which is pretty
right.
cool as well. So
right.
we were,
yeah,
our kids got to enjoy a Christmas tree.
Right.
And so just a plug, if you don't want to store it in your house, you know,
right.
there are community organizations right. out there that would love to have
and,
those.
And
that's
too.
A great
people
idea.
Do that. Yeah. People do come and buy a tree yep. because they want to support us, but then they want to give it to someone yep. else because mm-hmm. they have their own tree at home or their business or whatever. And mm-hmm. so it's really a way of helping two different
yep.
groups mm-hmm. if you
yep.
do that.
You
and,
get to be the beneficiary.
That's right.
Something very beautiful.
Right.
So.
That's wonderful.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club's holiday efforts.
Morning low was 33. We're partly sunny. Northwest breeze 60 this afternoon. Mostly clear down to 32 tonight. Sunny 59 tomorrow. 34 tomorrow night. Saturday, mostly sunny. Gusty south winds. High of 60. Sunday, mostly sunny. High of 58. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
Better, faster, more. That's what you'll get at your local Brown Shoe Fit store. A person who knows will measure your feet and your toes. The right fit is important for the shoes you get. Lots of styles from name brands will give you smiles. Selection of color, brand, and style will amaze your eyes. No one has more than the Brown Shoe Fit guys. Brown Shoe Fit in downtown Lawrence. Apparently nothing rhymes with Lawrence. Brown Shoe Fit, downtown Lawrence. A full-service shoe store for the whole family. Looks like nothing rhymes with family either.
These kids of mine, they keep telling me to sell the house and move in with them. I know they mean well, but I'm not about to give up my independence yet. So when my housework did start to get to be too much, I just knew who to call. Visiting Nurses has private duty services. I have them come out and help me with lawn care, laundry, and other chores. As much as I love my kids, I'm just not ready to make that move yet.
Visiting Nurses in Lawrence, call 843-3738. In Topeka, call 234-2700.
Looking to buy or sell your home? Stevens Real Estate has the experience and market knowledge to help you find or sell that special property. Need help getting through all of the paperwork? Stevens' team of specialists combined with cutting-edge technology will help you with every detail to close the deal. Stop waiting and start living your dream today. Stevens' proactive team approach and attention to detail has made them a leader in the community and a leader in real estate for over 30 years. When you're ready to buy or sell, visit your home team. Stevens Real Estate, StevensRE.com.
I'm Scott Tino, General Manager with Briggs Nissan here in Lawrence. I'll make it as simple as possible. I'm overstocked on new Nissans here at Briggs Nissan in Lawrence. I must sell $1 million worth of Nissan inventory in 30 days. I will not be beat on any new Nissan deal, period. I will give you the most for your trade-in, and I will give you the best rate possible on your financing, period. Briggs Nissan in Lawrence, the savings will be huge. Come in today. We will sell $1 million worth of Nissans in 30 days. Come see me at Briggs Nissan in the heart of the Lawrence Auto Plaza.
Why don't you meet me at the Sandbar Subs? It's the kind of place you're gonna love. The meat and cheeses are the finest there.
Kids eat free on the weekends at the Sandbar. For every adult that purchases a Sandbar Sub breakfast item, one child may receive a free breakfast item at equal or lesser value.
Sent from up above. Sandbar Subs.
Inside your Lawrence and Ottawa's Arco 66 Oasis.
950 at 1320 KLWN, continuing with our great Lawrence Business Magazine show once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine, it's published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merc, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can now pick it up a copy of the Lawrence Business Magazine in front of Milton's and the Eldridge downtown on our new outdoor boxes. They're really cool. They look pretty nice. And it's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. You can submit questions for our guests at questions@lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And like us on Facebook, where you can also find out updates, information on the radio show, the magazine, kind of other current events around town. We'd love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So I want to thank, we have Erica from the Boys and Girls Club, Erica Zimmerman. We have Judy Coley from the Shelter, and we have Matt McClure here from the Salvation Army talking about holiday. And we just talked with Judy, and we're talking about the Festival of Trees, and we just want to clarify one thing about the ranger. To get in to see the Festival of Trees, the Monday, to view the trees, is $3 for adults, and children are free. Mm-hmm. But the event on Tuesday night, the big auction, where it's a little bit fancier thing, there's food, and it's quite a celebration, trying to get people to spend a lot of money on those trees. That's a $35 ticket, correct?
Right. It's a $35. That's obviously very, a portion of that is a donation.
Sure.
But also because it is really a full-fledged party, why yeah. the food and all is a part of what you need to know you're getting for your
yes,
ticket.
Yes, and they're helping out a wonderful cause, too. So let's talk about the Boys and Girls Club. What are kind of some of the holiday things that you guys do? Because you interact with so many families mm-hmm. in town.
We work with a lot of other community organizations to make sure that our families are having their needs met. We identify families that might need either Thanksgiving assistance or Christmas assistance, and then we work with Salvation Army and the Ballard Center and just different organizations throughout the community to get some of those needs. We always take a lot of organizations bring in toys to our main club at 15th and Haskell, and we welcome any sort of donation such as toys or clothes or food for families, and then we kind of identify our high needs families and then make sure that they get those different things that are brought in. But as far as an organized toy drive or something like that, not necessarily, but we do take any donations right. during the time. We're a drop-off.
Now, what do you do during the holidays? Now, what kind of hours do you run over the holidays? Because I would imagine, I mean, do you have, do you work that?
We, when the school, over the winter break, uh-huh. when the school is closed, we are actually closed to give.
So you guys actually get a break.
We do, yes. It's one of the benefits of working for Boys and Girls Club, one of the many. Is that we give our staff a little bit of time off during that because our schedules are so crazy and the holiday season is so crazy and we're always running. You know, they don't get a summer break because we have a full-fledged summer program. So we try to give them some time off during the winter holiday to be with their families. And 'cause a lot of our kids are, a lot of our staff are you know, college students.
Sure.
And so it gives them a time to go back and be with their families and take a break as well. So
very good. Now, do you have any special needs that you have when people bring things in? Do you find that there's special things that you find more useful for your families, or is it pretty much anything?
You know, it just depends. Toys are a big one, though. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of families that are always looking for some sort of toys that they can get there for their kids. But now that I know about the Salvation Army and their Christmas Joy Shop, I think we'll definitely send them that way. And any toys maybe that we have, we can give them and donate them to Salvation Army because we try to, like I said, work with other organizations in the community to make sure that our families' needs are being met.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, the Joy Shop, how do people get access? How does the Joy Shop work, isn't it?
Well, we've been signing up for it. And actually, I think today is the last day for sign-ups. Mm-hmm. But people just come in, they sign up, they have to prove who lives with them in the house, they have to have kids in the household, and then they have to just have some sort of proof of income. Mm-hmm. And now if someone comes in after today and needs to sign up for the Joy Shop, we're not going to say too bad, you know. We're going to sign them up. But basically, they just need to sign up, and then they come in. They get a time and a day to come in. They come in, and they have a personal shopper that walks through the shop with them. And I don't know the details on it, except that they get, you know, they get some clothes, they get some toys, they get some food that goes with it for the holiday, for the Christmas meal. And so that's basically how it works.
Very cool. Then, and I know there's a couple of other toy drives around town with the United Way, I think, does it. The Blue Santa. There's a lot of things. So,
Toys for Tots.
Toys for Tots, definitely. Which is, so there's a lot of ways for people to give and do things around town. And one of the things that we're talking about is, as your efforts, like, you know, the holiday obviously is a big time. But with the economy this last few years and adjusting to that, because we've talked to other people, you know, needs have grown and budgets lots of times have dropped. So I want to talk a little about how you guys have dealt with that and what kind of things are you planning to do this next year to kind of address that and to address your own services, what you guys want to provide. Who wants to start?
Well, I'll start. Okay,
Erica's going to start.
You know, we have a very strong and committed board, and when the economy kind of took a dive, we got together and did some long-range planning and figured out what we wanted to do. And they're committed to making sure that every site, every school is served, and the kids that need us most are served. So we've worked really hard to kind of change our fundraising culture to kind of look at it a different way and try not so hard to be grant-funded, but to look at the individuals in the community and ask for their help a little bit more. And so we're looking for ways to do that. And it's just, like I said, the board has been so instrumental in doing mm-hmm. those kinds of things. And we've got creative in some of our fundraising and in the way we go after grants. And we've also kind of come together and, you know, it's not that we didn't have a mission before all this, but we just didn't have a focus on one certain mission. We knew that we helped kids, but now that we know that we help them reach their full potential as productive, caring citizens, then there's just more of a focus towards mm-hmm. the programs that we're carrying out, making sure that our staff are having an impact on these kids. And so it's more about focusing our efforts and then just really thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, it's amazing sometimes when you focus your efforts, you get so much more success and you actually, yep. you achieve some, you know, you actually are broader in what you do, but you're focused in how it's accomplished. So that's a pretty, yep. pretty nice thing. What about you, Judy, at the shelter?
Well,
what have you guys done?
We feel, again, I just keep saying we feel so fortunate to have the Festival of Trees as a an income source. It's certainly not our only income source. As I said, we serve a number of the kids that we serve are in the custody of the state. And so the state's funding is part of what supports those services.
And I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a break and come back and finish up our conversation here in just a few minutes.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Got a two-minute quick update for you coming up right at the top of the hour from Fox News. And then we'll be right back to the Lawrence Business Magazine show. Carry it over a little bit to the next hour since we got a little late start on today's show. This is KLWN Lawrence.
Lonnie Blackburn here from Academy Cars. The doctor told me to turn it down a notch so my heart doesn't explode. Now I need some way to get your attention besides screaming. That puts me in a real pickle. So here's what I've decided to do. It's my nickel pickle sale. This week you can buy a nicer, newer car at Academy and put just 5 cents down. Just a nickel and you can drive. Even if you've had some past credit problems, drive a 2011 Nissan Altima for the low, low payment of $187 per month. I'm in a pickle. And you can drive for a nickel this week at Academy Cars. And my For the People credit approval process means if you have a job and a nickel, you could be approved and driving today. Plus, we'll pay you up to $4,500 for any old trade, rusted, busted, or just clunked out. Come see me in my pickle suit today. My name is Lonnie Blackburn, and I am a dealer for the people in lovely Lawrence, Kansas. Online, academycars.com, or call me at 785-841-0102, Academy Cars.
Stock number 4998 requires bank approval. Nickel down. 2.99% APR, 75 months.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. Congress is asking questions right now about Libya, and tomorrow it'll get answers from David Petraeus, despite the affair that cost him his CIA director job. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern, live in Washington.
That affair and when the White House learned about it and why congressional leaders were not told about it could be a topic in closed-door sessions of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees today. Both panels meeting with CIA, FBI, and State Department officials. Tomorrow, lawmakers will quiz General David Petraeus. He's agreed to answer questions in early morning sessions on Capitol Hill. Dave.
Jared, what goes up? Israel's trying to blow up using a missile defense system, but some Palestinian rockets have landed. One killed three Israelis. Israel's response includes
surgical strikes against the terrorist infrastructure in Gaza.
15 Palestinians have been killed, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not ruling out an Israeli ground assault. A computer glitch has stranded some airline passengers, grounding United flights across the country. Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper live in Chicago.
United Airlines only says it's aware of a computer glitch affecting some of its flights. Some planes are now boarding. Mary Schiavo, the former Department of Transportation Inspector General, says computer issues are nothing new for this airline.
For United, this is the fourth time this year.
And United says that it has been working on this latest issue. It looks like they're getting back up close to being up and running again. Dave?
Jennifer, is BP guilty? The oil giant is working out a costly settlement over its Gulf oil spill. Fox News Radio Simon Owen live in London.
Dave, BP nearing a deal with the Justice Department. It's expected to see the British company plead guilty to criminal charges and then pay a record fine, possibly between $3 and $5 billion. It's thought two BP employees could also be facing charges. 11 workers died in an explosion on the Deepwater Horizon rig, which led to the oil spill. Dave.
Simon, on Wall Street, some more selling this morning. The Dow's down 30 points. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Morning low was 33. We're partly sunny. Northwest breeze 60 this afternoon. Mostly clear down to 32 tonight. Sunny 59 tomorrow. 34 tomorrow night. Saturday, mostly sunny. Gusty south winds. High of 60. Sunday, mostly sunny. High of 58. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
1002, 1320 KLWN. We're going to continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show for a few more minutes. And once again, here's your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
Thank you. Well, we cut off Judy again in our last segment.
Oh, well.
We're talking a little bit about your long-term projects and how, and also how you guys, your
sure.
how you guys work. So let's finish
sure.
that topic there.
Well, as I started to say, why we do get funding from the state, especially obviously for the kids who are in the custody of the state. We also get funding locally a lot for our prevention programs.
Great.
And so all of that helps. I mean, and needless to say, it's all really important. But what the money that we get from the Festival of Trees does is we use that as a backup. Mm-hmm. And as the economy goes up and down, and as we suddenly don't have what we thought we were going to have, or what, I mean, we've all been through this, and it's at this point, you know, we're getting kind of used to it, but we've used our Festival of Trees money as a backup in emergencies like mm-hmm. that. We've also used it for large capital improvement projects.
That's nice.
We opened our second facility with money that we raised from the Festival of mm-hmm. Trees. Were able to pay for the facility without a mortgage to do that. So
that's huge.
The really Festival of Trees money is very important to us, both in this economy and in order to allow us to grow.
And allow you to create a vision if you have the funds
right.
to do that.
Right.
Well, that's great. Yeah, and the Festival of Trees, like I said, is the first I'd heard about the shelter. So it's such kind of a nice to have something visible like that. Mm-hmm. You have the bell ringing,
mm-hmm.
and then the Boys and Girls Club. You guys are so visible and just at all the schools and things like that. So it's really that visibility and awareness, I think, really obviously helps. And then knowing
helpful.
What your services yep. are. Mm-hmm. Now, what about you, Matt? With kind of your long term planning. You were talking a little bit about wanting to do a little bit more fundraiser, kind of being a little bit more mm-hmm. Planning for the future. What do you guys
sure.
plan this year?
Well, we actually, on Monday, if everything works out well, we will be employing a development director. And they will be working with us to, with our long-term plan, not only raising money, but raising awareness. We want to do some creative fundraising. One of the things that we did in a community that we were in before, we did a ring off during the Christmas season, and it was the police and the fire department, and they call it the Guns and Hoses ring off. Come up with some creative fundraising ideas, and of course with the internet and social media, we can do that much more effectively. We can put virtual kettles on our website. From opposing groups, so to speak, and have a little competition maybe between the Rotary Clubs or whatever. So that'll be kind of fun. And then we just want to raise not only the community's awareness of who we are, but our awareness of who the community is. And we want to make sure that we have the best community impact that we can possibly have. The Salvation Army's mission is pretty flexible in the sense that we can localize as much as anyone. I mean, we can just absolutely do whatever the community needs. We're not stuck on any particular thing or agenda that we have to accomplish. So that's really nice. And so we want to just, and part of what forces that is that we are going into a capital campaign here locally, and part of that capital campaign is a community needs assessment. So we will be able to see exactly what the community needs. And going forward, we're going to make sure that we hit those very things.
That's great. So you guys, just want to kind of go back, just kind of as we wrap up here, talk a little bit about what you're doing, how people can get involved, if you want people to get involved at your organizations, and then we're going to have to let John have a show back. So Judy, how, if people want to get involved with a shelter, you definitely want them to go and spend money, Festival of Trees, but if they want to get more involved, how do they contact and get involved with you guys?
Well, a lot of what people want to do to be involved with us is to do trees for the Festival of Trees. And if people want to do that, what they need to do is call our office and get on a mailing list for the information that goes out in August to interested potential tree donors, and then they will get some information next August, and they can decide whether at that point.
And that number is
843-2085.
Okay, and we'll put that on our 2085. We'll put that on our website under our radio show tab. We'll have links to everybody's site and phone numbers if they want to call.
Great. Well, I appreciate that. That's one of the things that people really like to do to help us, and we, of course, like them to do that as well. We also, during the Christmas season and actually throughout the year, take donations as well that we can use to give to families who need help. And so if people want to do that kind of thing, why, they can obviously give us a call. And we take monetary donations all year. We really appreciate everybody's interest in our services. And,
great. Well, thank you for all the services. Sure. That's wonderful to know that the children of our community have that sort of support when they need it in some very trying times, that they have the support. Sure. And I like the kind of proactive of trying to make sure that things don't escalate, I think is really important. Mm-hmm. Which is also Boys and Girls Club, making sure kids have that kind of the whole child
well-rounded.
Been dressed.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you guys?
There are a couple of different ways that we can always use assistance. We have three fundraising events throughout the year. We have one in February. That's our Youth of the Year event, and that's the award that Trey won. She started here at the local mm-hmm. level and then went to the national level, and she will be back for that. So we're pretty excited for that. And then in March, we're going to do a Mardi Gras after Mardi Gras ball. And that should be pretty fun. And then we always do a 5K and a 10K run with Don Red Dog Gardner at Haskell. So those are three events that people can participate in and help us out. But the other area, and like Judy said, we'll always take cash donations. And you can do that on our website. I'll give that here at the end. But another way that people can get involved that sometimes they don't think about is volunteering. We do staff on a 1-15 ratio, but it's always good to have other adults, caring adults, with our kids, and especially with specialized skills, sewing, woodworking, those types of things. We always need volunteers to come in and teach our kids those types of things. So, and all of that can be done through our website, which is bgclk.org. So think of Boys and Girls Club Lawrence, Kansas.org.
Great. And what about you, Matt?
Well, again, we always take money. And folks can mail that into our location, 946 New Hampshire. You can go on our website, lawrencesalvationarmy.us, and donate on the website. The website also has a link to our Facebook, so you can see all of our updates. And then, again, volunteering, absolutely. We can always use people volunteer, not just through the holiday season, but throughout the season. Like I said, the possibilities are endless with what programs we can do to serve the community. A lot of times it depends on the funding that we have and the volunteerism that we have.
That's great. Well, thank you guys for being here today and helping share and talk about a little bit about the holidays and how Lawrence can be help out, how what you do to make the holidays better, what you do all year long to help make our city better, and helping all the people. We've been, hopefully our listeners learned a little bit more about your organizations and just kind of how in-depth and how strong you guys are, what you've done. We have, we're here every Thursday morning, Lawrence Business Magazine, and you can find us at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. You can like us on Facebook for updates. Each Thursday, we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And we have been here today with Erica Zimmerman from the Boys and Girls Club, with Judy Culley from the shelter, and Lieutenant Matt McClure from the Salvation Army and the bell ringing, the bell ringing troops. So thank you for joining us. The Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.
This is the news and talk of Lawrence 1320 KLWN.
If you're a healthy, non-smoking adult between the ages of 18 and 55, you may be eligible to participate